Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you for joining us today. Joining me today is Fran Mirabella.
What's up, Destin? Sean.
And Sean Finnegan.
Hello, everyone.
Guys, today we're going to be talking about the Destiny microtransaction kind of hubbub that's been going on. And also, we're going to talk about challenge mode as a whole now that we've got to experience each of the three portions and kind of what our thoughts are. Mm-hmm. So let's open up right away. And we kind of need to talk about the whole microtransaction thing that's
spending
been going
monies.
On. Yeah. So what happened is on the French PlayStation Store originally, a consumable was activated to immediately level up your characters to level 25.
And basically it was Spark of Light.
Yeah, basically exactly. Spark of Light. And it was €30. And now it is officially on the US store. It is $29.99 to level up a Titan, Warlock, or Hunter to level 25, basically immediately. I actually have the exact items that you get here.
Yeah, but I mean, it's basically that. So it's the Spark of Light, but then they added
you get
a
the
subclass
boost. Yeah.
And you got another piece with it, right? What was the
telemetries?
Other? Yeah, you got some telemetries. Mm-hmm. So that is one difference over Spark of Light.
Yeah.
The subclass boost is nice because it does take a while. Has there been just a subclass boost on its own yet?
Not that I
not
know of.
See,
yeah,
I'll buy that.
For $30, though?
That's what all the hubbub in the community
the
is
question.
About. Is like if you go to the Destiny subreddit, like 8 of the 10 threads that appear on the front page are all about how this microtransaction is terrible and how it's a scam and all this stuff. But I mean, while a lot of that stuff is, you know, hyperbole, $30 is super steep for a price when you talk about it in context of how much other things have cost. Like the Taken King was
$40. Sure. Mm-hmm. But okay, I got an easy solution for you. Yeah. Don't buy it. And don't get mad if other people buy it because it's their money.
Totally.
Now, definitely a discussion to be had of, like, should they be selling it for that much? Is it worth it? Like, as a review product, let's call it, should you buy it at that price or should you wait and see if they change it? But what I will say, and that's why I'm jumping in, I hate, and feel free to do it anyway, but I hate arguments over the whole, oh, you don't buy it because it's not worth it, and I hate you for buying it, and I had to do all this work. Well, it's up to the consumer. And so it's Destin, you've had commentary on this before, right? Where it's guess what? If you don't like it, don't buy it. But if people are buying it, that means that it's viable. They might be able to sell it for $100.
Yeah. I don't like microtransactions in Destiny at all. A lot of people seem okay with the silver and buying emotes and stuff like that, but I feel like it kind of corrodes what is like a really good game product that I enjoy, and you kind of like get this real world. To me, it feels like you're putting your hand into my wallet and taking out just a little more here, 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 and here.
But it's up to you. So why is it corrosive? This is what bothers me.
It is. Well, I feel like it's
corrosive to you?
It damages the experience. It takes me out of the immersion.
Why? You see someone dancing and you're like, oh, you bought that, man.
No, it's just
loser.
Like, I just I don't like hopping into the tower and then like, oh man, there's that gross thing that I don't like in real life that's kind of finding its way into all these games. Like, I remember when games were, you just bought a game and you got the game. It's not like constantly like...
Yeah.
So I'll give you a better answer. It takes 480,000 experience to get from 1 to 25 and max a subclass.
Yeah.
Previously, or before that,
12,
before that, it was actually less. They Bungie nerfed the amount of experience you get from just regular questing, and they did that knowing that they were going to release this consumable. And now it actually, it encourages you, like leveling, that is what it affects the gameplay directly. Like Bungie had previously said that microtransactions would be cosmetic only, but now there is a direct way where you are more efficient and spend less time by buying this consumable to level up a character.
Yeah, but so you have all the bounties. You got to factor that into it.
I mean, true. So like
I get that. You're right. It's strategic.
I stacked up, when I first leveled my character in The Taken King, I had stacked up numerous 5K bounties. And so like it's basically instantly into Taken King, I went from 32 to like 39. Like I barely noticed the leveling process. But have you tried leveling a second character like without those bounties? It's tough, man.
Yeah,
it takes
need
a long time.
No, you have to do the bounties.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like,
but even with the bounties, now there are no 5K bounties, so there's only 2,000 experience bounties. Like that's the maximum, or 2,500, I think. But that said, it's just the process of leveling and maxing the subclass is much more difficult. And now it's like, okay, well, I can do that. I don't have to spend money. But when, but if I choose to do that, other people have a clear, speedier advantage because they chose to spend money. And that I don't like. That is a direct gameplay that is affecting the gameplay directly, something that Bungie said they wouldn't do.
You think allowing someone to get access to like a subclass or another character is...
It's not allowing or disallowing, because like you said, whether you pay or not.
The speed of it. But why is it a problem that they have a subclass that's leveled up?
Because that's one of the hardest parts of leveling.
People who've played 700 hours.
He's saying that because they purposefully made the game more difficult to achieve that without spending money so that they could charge money for it.
Well,
that's his issue.
That's what you're
saying. Also, just that
you would have to prove that, by the way.
There's now clearly
numbers.
Well, there's no.
That's not why they did it necessarily.
But there's now. My point is that there's now clearly. Yeah, and then I mean that's a fact. But like, there's now clearly a better and more efficient way to level your character, and as someone who wants to play the game at a min-max style, like my time invested means a lot. So now, if I want to make sure I'm getting the most out of my time in terms of leveling a second or a third character, I have to look at this and buy this.
You don't have to. And there's more bounties and more missions.
Well, you know, if you want to be more efficient.
No, but if you think about that, right, there's more missions, Taken King plus the old stuff. So couldn't you play devil's advocate and say, oh, well, that's why they changed the caps a bit? Because now you have more availability of total experience that you can do.
But
so my point here is that, by the way, I'm not defending that. There is this distinct possibility that they did this knowingly, that we want it to be a little more grindy because we're going to have some of these consumables. I'm just cautioning to be careful and objective that you can't say that they did it because of this. Unless you need more facts than just, oh, it takes a little longer. But there's more missions. There's more bounties than ever. There's more to do everywhere. There's more enemies in some levels that experience pours in. You know, play Undying Mind. You just experience pours in on all the majors on that level.
Well, here's what I said earlier about microtransactions in a previous episode. Basically, designers are starting to design games with the idea that we can squeeze a little bit more money out of the consumer by implementing microtransactions, and we're going to build our games around this microtransaction idea. I'm okay with large content drops like that, like especially for a game like Destiny,
DLC.
You got a significant chunk of DLC, but I do not like this idea that the design philosophy at these big companies now is, how can we get the most amount of money out of the consumer by offering little things?
And
this being $30, it feels gross.
Sure. Yeah, and look, by the way, I don't like it either. Like, for the record, if this is why they're doing it. And Destiny seems like it's making a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I've said this a lot on the show. I don't have like the performance and loss like chart of exactly.
They're never going to tell us that.
They're doing well. Yeah. Activision just bought, you know, one of the most expensive mobile companies out there. They have a ton of money. So definitely it stinks a little bit if it's true. I'm just cautioning that, you know, when you speculate on this stuff, be careful how, you know, I guess it goes back to...
You can't speak factually.
Yeah, I guess I'm always a little bit of like... I reel back a little bit when I see the very... the internet gets really like corrosive and toxic whenever this happens, instead of like... You know, meaning they act like it is a fact. That somebody there, the head of Bungie, right, is sitting there saying, this, oh man, we're going to make money this holiday mm-hmm. and make it suck for them. Like, I know enough people there to know that is not how it works. There's mm-hmm. definitely business strategy, but I guess, right, there's two sides to every story. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can come back to the discussion of, like, is it, like, worth $30 to get this stuff?
Well, I certainly don't think it's worth $30.
Never mind the philosophy, but mm-hmm. is it worth it to buy it?
Yeah. I mean, I certainly don't think it's worth $30, right? But, like, I am not against, you know, how to put this? I'm not against, like, philosophically, I'm not against the idea of microtransactions as long as it stays cosmetic, right? Like, Counter-Strike, Dota, these are two games that I play a lot of and mm-hmm. love, and both of those have microtransactions in them. In fact, they're probably, I would go as far as to say they're predicated on microtransactions, but they don't affect the gameplay in any way at all, mm-hmm. in terms of progression or gameplay mechanics mm-hmm. themselves. Bungie said that that would be the case, and that's fine. Now, if you want to buy stuff, you can buy stuff, and I'm totally okay with that. But now, like, there is some element of coercion there, that which you can resist, like you said. You mm-hmm. cannot buy it even if they're coercing you to buy it. But I think, let's say if you're a new player and you jump in at level 1, you're going to feel like the game's a lot more grindy because they nerfed the amount of total XP you're getting from quests pre-Taken King. And now there's this consumable out there, and all of your friends who may or may not have disposable incomes are like, well, I'm going to jump on that. And then suddenly you feel a little alienated and left out because you have to do it the regular way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is the part that's a little toxic, is like, now that, because it directly impacts gameplay, those who are more interested in getting the most out of their gameplay experience are feeling coerced into buying that.
Right. So let's look at some, agree on all those points.
If it was $5, sure. I mean, I can see that. But again, so $30?
Remember what you do get. When you buy Destiny
I should get
now.
Almost a whole game.
I know, but when you buy Destiny now, right, you do get, you can build any character you'd like, obviously, but you get a Spark of Light. Mm-hmm. So you can play a character and bump it up. You won't get the subclass piece, mm-hmm. But you can move, you know, reasonably fast. You know, it's still a, what I've seen in terms of hours, by the way, is that before Taken King, it was probably 10, 15 hours, depending on how fast you could move to level someone up to like
year,
30
year
almost.
Year one, 20 to like 24 was rough.
When you go way, way back, but I mean towards the tail end. So meaning this 10 to 15 hour window. I feel like basically you're almost in that same window now with a Spark of Light. So meaning instead of it taking 30 hours, you're still with that Spark of Light. You're kind of equivalent.
In an hour, you can play the Taken King content.
And, well, yeah, 1 hour. And that...
With because you get the Spark of Light.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, you mean play it, not finish it. Exactly. Okay. I was like, what?
No, you, like, you can.
Each mission's 15 minutes.
If you, like, if you get bumped up to level 25,
it's wild.
Well, the Spark of Light, it was designed so that you could create a new character, get bumped up to level 25.
That's right.
And then run through the thing. Right.
So,
and yeah.
So anyway, my point is, you're right, though. If you want to start another character that's at 25 and has subclass. But the point is, I'm just speaking in hours. It's not like you're at a super big disadvantage that you can't start a character and within 10 to 15 hours be playing with them. Now, you know, it depends on what you want to do. If you want to do, like, hard raid, sure.
It's really the subclass that's the sort of crux of the argument. Is like, mm-hmm. getting to 25 or getting to 40 in terms of XP gain, like, that's not all that difficult. But, like, even after I hit 40, I had spent so much time just getting the subclass
still
maxed
grinding
out.
Subclasses, yeah.
Because that's really tough. Like,
that's so
I never finished my second 100
or
third. And
hey, what do you know? Your subclass directly affects gameplay.
It
if
does,
you don't have some of the abilities that are available in the subclass, your subclass isn't as strong as other people. You can't go toe to toe with them in Crucible, right. mm-hmm. and you're less effective in strikes. I don't know. There's not a rational person in the universe who could say that this doesn't affect gameplay directly, because it does. And I think that's the problem. This, now I'm feeling coerced to spend $30 so that I can have the same experience that other people are having.
I think that's the community's issue with it,
too. It's really frustrating.
They feel like,
I'm getting angry thinking about it.
They have done the thing that people were like, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do anything that affects gameplay.
Ooh.
Well, here's the thing that directly affects gameplay.
Go back to Fireteam Chat episode, well, I don't know,
39.
Whatever the episode was where we first talked about the 39. Eververse trading company, and I said, and mm-hmm. I'm paraphrasing, but I wanted to air quote here, that it would be fine if they really did. Like I said, I wanted it in writing from Bungie that
they wouldn't affect
that it wouldn't that it would only be cosmetic.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Where are we now? Haters on the internet were being like, "Oh, well, why don't you trust him, Sean Finnegan?" Well, this is why, dude.
Yeah, I like that. I got a lot of tweets.
I definitely, like the subquest grind is pretty bad. I have mm-hmm. like a third that I only play occasionally that I do not have all the classes still. And so now I'm staring down the barrel of that gun and thinking like, what do I spend $90 so I can get it within this package?
Oh,
that's why I asked about, you know, the subclass item. I actually think that's where, and it hasn't gotten there yet, but they're bundling, right?
Yeah, that's, it's a one big package.
Yeah, so that's, you know, it's why
you don't have
asking
choices
about the value of this. I think for like telemetries and a spark of light, whatever, if you want to start a new character, cool. Mm-hmm. But that's a really high price. But the subclass thing is pretty valuable for your time.
Mm-hmm. You know, so what I would buy for $30? Sorry to interrupt. 1,000 motes of light. Like, I would pay
just for experience, but it doesn't affect your subclass though. So
no, but I mean, armor is also another one of those things that's really hard to level up these days.
Motes of light. I noticed with the most recent update, my motes of light are taking a lot longer to upgrade my armor.
Yeah, totally.
Before, it seemed to go pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Now it's like I just burned like 100 motes of light, and my exotic chest piece still isn't maxed.
Weapons go real quick. Armor goes so slowly.
It does.
It's crazy.
But what I was gonna say is that I now, as someone who, you know, is willing to spend a little extra cash, I'm seriously considering just for that subclass.
$30, wow.
Now, again, going back to the moral issue, I'm going to put that aside for a second. I really want subclass, you know, boosters, actually, just for me. I worry how it affects the game and everything, to your point. But if they... That's where we're caught here in this conversation, right? There's half just moral code of should we be doing this? Are they, you know, are they poisoning the water, so to speak, to encourage you to, you know, end up in this situation? But then there's the other side, which is just like, I got to tell you, I talk about this all the time. I hate the amount of the grind.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And it is a balance. Either way, it's going to take time to grind a subclass. So making that point, okay, I hate it. So if I start a new character over, I just want all three subclasses. I've already earned them. Just let me have them. So actually, that's the first thing. I would prefer that if I've already earned this stuff, just give it to me. Why would I have to grind through them again?
Yep.
So that's my preference. But, okay, if you're going to allow me to buy them for $299, fine. I'll do it. Now,
but
I'm driving the business.
It's not $299.
Well, it's not $299.
Yeah.
So
it's
then there
I'm driving. $30.
But definitely, I'm sort of just looking at it that way. I'm okay in that realm because it's accessible, but this $30 thing is crazy.
I think philosophically you're right? Like, if you, let's say you are that person who's like, I hate the grind. I would spend money if I could on this consumable. That's fine. But then put yourself, and because we all are lucky enough to work in the games industry and have to be, you know, well, you're not single, but I think we are both single. So we have disposable incomes. We don't have anything to really pay for outside. So we have the ability to invest in our hobbies if we want to. But the vast majority of people out there aren't like that. They may share the same philosophy as you, like they hate the grind as well, but they can't spend the $299 if it's $299. But it's not, it's $30.
Yeah, it's $30.
And you're $30.
Right. That's where the story is. It's hard enough for some people just to have a game console with a game once a year.
Totally.
A ton of people.
Just on the price point issue, like I want to bring up the sparrows again. It's $10 for a random sparrow.
$10.
It's $10
well, it's five for one sparrow. $5 for one.
You're
sparrow.
Right. Yeah, sorry, it's $10
for $10
for the $10 for the book to get the rewards. It is $5 per sparrow. Their pricing structure is just totally nuts. Yeah. It's way too expensive for everything, including this consumable.
They're testing the waters though. So that is where it's really interesting. But that is the untold story. And you're right, Sean. That is where it's very valid to get angry. Like, it's so hard to just own a game system in a game. Like, there's a ton of people who are still on probably PS2 even, you know, and that's all they have.
Totally.
And so it's already expensive enough, let alone to finally, I want to play this game with my friends, and now there's all these barriers.
Just so we have some time to talk about challenge mode, what are your final thoughts, Fran, on, like, how they're handling microtransactions? Are they doing well, or do we feel that they need to, like, reevaluate how they're handling this?
I have two thoughts, which is, they're all over the place. I did not understand the price of the book. I just didn't understand it.
Yeah.
So there's $10. That side where they're testing the waters, and it's all over the place. You're right. But then they're just not doing enough storytelling around it, because I guarantee you they're afraid to say anything official, really.
Yeah.
They're just like, here they are, get them if you want them. Yeah. But to say anything of like why it's valuable or not, it's a slippery slope for them. But I think that lack of communication is what's pissing everybody off.
Yeah, we are recording this before the weekly update on Thursday, so that should be noted. They may say something about it this week because the community has had such a backlash.
Right. We've discounted it.
What do you think, Sean? Still.
Like I said, I want it on the record. I'm not philosophically against microtransactions, but I do recognize that implementing them in a game where the plan is not to keep it cosmetic, that is a super, very, very slippery slope. And I said that before, and I was really worried about that
yeah.
you know, Bungie starting to fall down the slope. And I think we're kind of at that point where whether or not you want to talk about the individual pricing points, a lot of people out there are feeling coerced into doing something that they don't want to do. Yeah.
But again,
that's a negative thing.
Yeah, that's the moral side of it, though, like being coerced or them pushing you towards it. But we should come back to it another time, which is how does it actually affect your gameplay?
Yeah.
You know, but that's, I agree, it's a slippery slope, but we're not so deep in that I'm buying a new grenade type
right,
that's powerful
but,
that you have to buy.
But I want to point out, we may only be halfway down the hill.
Of course, like, of course.
In a year from now, yeah, we may be buying grenade types yeah. and stuff. Like, that was my worry. Is like, when they first introduced Eververse, they were like, it's just, it, don't worry about it, man. Yeah.
It's
just
emotes.
It's emotes. And I was like, okay, it's just emotes now. What is it a week from now or 2 weeks
and
from now?
You can now smash cut to that episode where I'm like, Destin, wait until it happens.
Yeah.
Freaking out. And that's my point.
All right, it happened. Okay. You can go see me freak out about it.
But now we're into subclass.
Yeah.
And again,
so that's what I was saying is like,
it's not
at
dire.
The very beginning, I was
it's
like,
subclasses, it's quest items or a faster way to get quest items.
Such
you know,
as what?
From the Festival of the Lost, the best way to get the masks was to just buy it.
So amazing.
Well, no, but you couldn't do two of the quests without like farming the candy
yeah,
or
but your
just
reward
buying
wasn't
it.
Like anything.
No, it wasn't. But they're locking you.
Right.
They're locking you.
It's
out
coercion.
Of stuff.
It's
yeah,
coercion.
It's coercion.
And you're right. That's
and now it's subclasses. Now it's a book where you get rewards, stuff like that.
That's why I said
it's getting. Ugh,
and
ugh.
That, so that's
I don't like this.
That's my final know? Thought. Is like I was against them implementing even cosmetic transactions at the very beginning, just because it sets a precedent. For now, there are microtransactions, and that's a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see where they are in a year. Who knows? Maybe they backtrack. Maybe we climb back up the hill, and they're like, you know what? We tried this, and while we made a lot of money, a lot of players didn't really like it, and that would be awesome. Sure. I just call me a cynic, but I just don't think that that's the reality we're going to see in a year.
We made $20 million, but players didn't like it, so we're going to reevaluate.
Oh, that's the other thing is, like, let's say the fan community or the community does have a lot of backlash against this, but it turns out that in the weekly update or something, they're like, guess what? Bungie's like, we made all this money from microtransactions. Guess what? Your next huge DLC, Taken King 2, boom, it's free. Then I'd be like, thank you. That is what I want to see. But is that going to happen?
Yeah.
But the next DLC is free. By the way, you can buy exotics.
So, I think these are all valid points. I think that's where what we need to leave it at is there's the gameplay balance discussion we need to have. Yeah. Does this actually affect gameplay balance for some, others not? But then there's the moral code and the coercion, and are they doing this?
I mean, I think it totally does, right?
But it's the point
if
is
you don't have a hammer of light, or if you don't have a hammer.
Two separate conversations. Yeah. I think it's just important to keep in mind, and you control the business, so don't buy if you don't like it.
Yeah. What do you guys think? We definitely want to hear this week. Let us know in the comments below. Tweet at us. We're going to move on to our next topic. That one was heated.
I love it.
Some heated stuff. I like
that
one.
My favorite part.
So we're going to talk about something I really enjoyed in Destiny, challenge mode, and we're going to look at it now that we've got to experience all three modes. Yeah, holistically. And
it's on my vocabulary list this week to use at least once.
So we got Oryx this week. Last week was Golgi. That's what I call him.
I know, I call it the Golgi challenge.
The Golgi challenge. And then Warpiest.
The Warpiest.
According to Sean.
I totally misread it the first time on stream.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Warpiest?
I walked in and I was like, what is Warpiest? And then like 5 minutes later, I was like, oh, it's Warpriest.
Oh,
that makes way more sense. Yeah,
if you have a lot of lag, it is the Warpiest.
Mm. Well, I just glanced at it and misread it. Right. I swear I have like...
That's not nearly as bad as the Crucible.
Like, yeah,
nowhere close to it. Sorry, Jose. Yeah. I love you.
So, talking about challenge mode for a second, what did we think about Oryx this week? I got to play it yesterday at work. It was awesome. Yeah. I really, really liked it. I liked the challenge involved. I had a great team. We were really like gelling together, and we had to figure out a few little missteps and there. But it was really, really fun. Yeah. I loved it.
So, quick summation of what it is.
Yeah.
And I still actually want to know: did people try this strategy before? Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe there was no reason.
People did.
There was a video of somebody successfully.
A few players did it where they detonated them all at once, right. Just kind of for fun, and then turns out, hey,
that's
this is the actual challenge.
Right. So to recap, what it is normally you leave, the four blights out there
and detonate them,
and you detonate them all in sync, so they all go off at the same time. And you hit them, with all four. You do that once per round until you got them. But the way it works now is you leave them alone, and you need to keep. You've seen that knight who floats around. He's called the Light Eater.
Yeah,
that's the guy that normally you do things so fast that you just kill everybody. Hit the mic. But now you really got to focus on keeping away from these lights because you're collecting them as you go. So you got to get 16 in total to take them down at the end.
Yeah.
So you loved it.
I loved it. It was great. I had a great team. Our strat was like two Titans up top. We assign people 1 through 3. We assign somebody to carry the thing, the
relic,
invincibility relic. Yeah,
the aura.
Yeah.
He
was also responsible for taking out the vessel, and it just worked really well. It was super smooth. It took us a while, but it was super smooth. And I really, really liked doing it this way.
And you assigned a few people the knights as well. That's the most popular strategy.
Yeah, so the person on the plate was, you get your ogre, you get your knight. You know, that was the goal.
Yep. Yeah,
and then
I was
the
number...
people up top do the extra knight.
Yeah, we basically did number two is in charge of getting the knights you know, opposite, and then up top they were taking one of the knights.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, like, I enjoyed it. I haven't beaten it because we got so close every time last night. I was only playing last night, and it was just, we didn't have enough time.
What was the closest you got?
Oh, we were basically done.
Yeah.
We were on the last round, and a knight slipped away.
Yeah.
Just from there, I swear, every raid that I do with my teams, I have multiple teams, and that's partially why it's hard to align with all the same people every time.
Mm-hmm.
Always a lot of fun, though. But anyway, at the very beginning, we do awesome. We're just, like, cruising. Oh, we got it. And then that happens. And then everything from there gets worse and worse.
Dominoes.
And worse
until
we just forget it.
Sometimes you need to take a break and come back to it.
It's
but,
true.
You know, seeing people with that emblem and stuff like that, it's kind of a badge of pride right now.
Totally.
Definitely. Sean, what do you think about the encounter?
I think it's actually a nice change of pace. Like, this is, I think, the most drastic change in terms of the challenge mode for any three.
If you look at War Priest and Golgoroth, they're pretty...
Yeah.
Not that difficult.
They're slightly additive.
Yeah.
Like,
Oryx was a pretty major. Everybody had been playing it a certain way, and now it's like, here's how you should do it.
Yeah, I think everyone who had been doing Oryx regularly kind of had this natural progression from, you know, killing the ogres and then destroying the knights and then detonating the blights to, wait, we don't have to kill the ogres. Let's keep the ogres. That way we don't have to kill the knights, and then they realize that was better. And then now it's kind of like at this final stage where I think that if you execute this strategy, it's way easier. Like, it's actually...
It is easier because you know, like, oh, I missed a knight, he ate a blight, either we do another round or we just wipe and start over.
My team is really good shots. You can take down those knights, like, if using... you're using Black Spindle and it's 320, which you are, it's one shot to the head and maybe a body shot.
Well, you'll probably have Malice as your primary, but you have a 320 sniper, they're still, like, two shots.
Totally.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Is like it's if you can get the strategy down and you have two Titan bubbles on the top there with Blessing of Light, like, it's really difficult to take damage up there, and you can kind of just knock it out really easily.
Yeah.
So we should still talk about it if we enjoyed it. It sounds like Destin did.
I really liked it.
But I actually wanted to ask, have you guys been on knights, and did you have like that lag when they reel back, that if you shoot them again too quickly, it does no damage?
There's been a lot of lag experience with Destiny lately, not only in like single player but in multiplayer. I had like an ogre just freeze and run into the corner, then we all got booted from the party. We still pulled it off.
So that is one thing.
So like I had to like invite everybody in a party
in the middle of the match,
and we still got the win.
That's crazy.
So yeah,
we've had problems with teleporting ogres.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we had teleporting knights, and that was part of the reason we had lag or something. But I had numerous times, and I didn't know if it was an animation issue. You know, or the lag combined with the animation. But what was happening is I hit him with a snipe, and then it was a second, and then they reeled back.
Yeah.
But then I would hit him again, right? Is there kind of coming and nothing? And I'd have to wait until they stood up and were about to run again.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if
that's strange.
You know, if it was lag, but man, it was causing issues.
Sometimes, like, I usually take a beat just in between shots anyway after I headshot something because, like, you'll reel back, and then if you fire again quickly, you hit him in the chin, and it's like, that's not a precision shot. And you're like, dude. Come on.
And that might be part of the reason why I don't think so, though. The damage barely moved.
Honestly, I could play through the whole raid. Yeah. I could play through the whole raid, War Priest Challenge, Golgoroth Challenge, and Oryx Challenge. I think it's kind of fun that way. Kind of fun to add this extra layer, like one extra little way to do everything.
Oh, I totally think it is.
Oryx, that's probably going to replace all the other strats. A lot of people on Reddit are talking about it.
Yeah, actually, if you go on Reddit and look, people are like, hey, if you execute this strat, it's actually easier than all the other strats. This is probably just the new way people are going to do it.
Definitely.
Which I think is super funny.
I think it's great. What do you guys think of just challenge mode as a whole?
It's a nice addition to the game because when you're not dropping big DLCs like the raid, or, you know, raids are definitely something that where you spend a lot of time and resources designing it, and then you can't exactly just drop those every 3 months, right? Like, raids are there's something to look forward to, and there's something that take a lot of time for players to figure out. But once you get there, you can't just keep releasing them like that, right? Mm-hmm. Challenge mode is a really unique way for Bungie to kind of give players something to kind of figure out and look forward to, and give them the original sensation that they had when they tried the raid for the first time, mm-hmm. but with the same content, which is mm-hmm. awesome. And I would love to see, like I think I said it on the last episode, but it would be cool if next week the next challenge mode was mm-hmm. War Priest again. But it was a different challenge.
Yeah, like, I would like that for sure.
Not counting on it. I thought it was going to be more significant. Mm-hmm. I kind of, you know, we were talking about this the other day, though. Because the raid is the way it is, you only have so many variables you can mm-hmm. really play with without breaking the way other people have to do it. Mm-hmm. But that, I think initially, yeah, I thought, here's what I thought it was originally going to be, is a separate thing outside of the raids where you just do one of the bosses
right.
on a like its own, almost a piece of Prison of Elders. That'd and I thought cool. that's what it was going to be, like, oh, there's, you know, normal, hard, and the challenge.
Yeah.
And you could just go in and do it. But anyway, so it wasn't as significant and interesting like mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be, but the rewards are awesome, and it was a nice way to mix it up.
Definitely.
It's running its course pretty quickly, obviously.
Yeah. I was going to say, through and through. I can't wait to hop in every week and do it. We got to get out of this room, though, you guys. We're back to back with
it's
another
true.
Show, so yeah. we'll have to wrap it up there. Sorry.
Final thoughts. It's yeah. really cool. It could be harder.
Yeah. Yeah,
sure.
It'll be
absolutely.
Interesting if they add new variables.
Especially as you refine things. And there's been obviously a lot of commentary that they were too easy to begin with from mm-hmm. some of the elite players. Mm-hmm. That being said, I thought it was good entry point, but yeah, maybe they need to like reintroduce some other challenges. Otherwise, it's just going to be, a little too easy after a while.
I think it might have been like a test, and maybe for the next raid, they'll amp it up.
Could be.
You know. Could be. Anyway, that's all we have time for today, literally, because we got to get out of here. Thank you guys for joining us.
Yeah,
Thank you for joining the podcast.
That's right.
Yet again,
and be sure to look forward to over the holidays. Actually, we pre-recorded a couple special episodes.
Christmas
and New Year's. We will have podcasts. And thanks everyone for joining us. Yeah. Obviously.
All right. Until next time,
Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.